At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into episode number 141 of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors podcast. This week, it's just me. I'm going to be talking about kind of a wrap-up of the early season, what we learned, some things that worked, some things that didn't work in our favor. And then I'm going to be doing a little bit of a rut preview because this is going out on October 28th. So we are right there. I mean, things are starting to look pretty good as far as the season goes. We're seeing more bucks on camera. We're going to start seeing more activity in the daylight soon. Today should be decent. It's going to be a little warm, but hopefully this afternoon we'll get on something. The next couple days look like they're going to be tough weather-wise, and then after that we'll get a little bit of a break Thursday and Friday, and then we'll be rolling into November. So it's that time of year. We're excited. Hopefully you guys are excited for that as well. That's what I'm going to be talking about on today's episode. It might be a little shorter than normal, but I appreciate you tuning in. Let's get into it. This is the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. Okay, so the first thing, as we sit here, like I said, October 28th, I want to talk about on this week's episode is just kind of a wrap-up of the early season. While it's still fresh on the mind and everything, we're just rolling out of it. We're in the latter part of the month, obviously, so early season officially behind us. I don't know when you'd call that. Maybe the third week of October you call early season gone, or the second week. But either way, the early part of the season, the first month, is pretty much behind us. We are into, in my opinion, some of the best days of the season right now. I wouldn't say, well, it depends on your scenario, whether it's the best right now or whether the next 10 are the best. Somewhere in there, depending on what you got going on, and I'll talk about that just a little bit, but probably in some of the better days of the season for sure right now. So the early part's behind us. We're rolling into the middle, the best, and then obviously, after that, we'll go to the late season, which can be really good as well if you have food. But we'll save that one for another day. So to start off with, just kind of some things we took away from October. Cold fronts are still king in October. It doesn't really matter what you've got unless you can just get in on a buck's bed real safe without bumping him. If you don't have cold fronts, it's going to be really hard to see mature bucks on their feet in daylight in October. There are some situations where that's not the case. Like maybe you got a super early doe that comes in. You know, there'll be a few of those every year in the middle of the month, and that gets him up. Maybe he got spooked by something out of his bed early. Like that's always a possibility too. But in general, cold fronts are still king when it comes to October. If you can catch one, you're in really good shape. The cold fronts we had were the best days that we had. Dusty killed his buck around a cold front. Dawson killed both of his bucks on cold fronts, really kind of the same cold front. He was within 3 days of each other. So the does that we took were right in around some at least moderate weather. It wasn't blazing hot, I don't think, for any of those ones. Even the one I shot on the second, I think the weather was decent. It was fairly cool that evening. So definitely probably the biggest takeaway, I think, from the month of October is that if you don't have a cold front, probably don't expect too much as far as mature bucks go. Obviously, the does are still going to get out and feed, and even that might be later, though. But if you don't have one, it's going to be really tough, and that was kind of the case for this month. But when we got them, they were pretty good if you were in the right spot. Now, there are areas where, you know, I didn't see much on those cold fronts. We didn't have much on our cameras. You know, Blake would say the same thing. Dad would say the same thing. But they definitely, when we did have success, it was in and around those. Also, something else that benefited, and we talked about this a lot early in the summer and throughout the summer, was these late planted crops. And we weren't sure. We had some ideas of how it might go. And I think it's kind of played out and is playing out like we thought it would. The late beans, so far, I think, have been a benefit in a lot of cases. Dusty's buck, for example, was coming out to a bean field that had a bunch of deer feeding out in it. They were late beans as far as turning goes. I mean, this was the end of the first week. It was like October 8th, I think, was the date. And there were some beans out there that still had green on them. So that's what those deer were out there feeding on. And his buck ended up coming out to that field. So definitely benefited from that. Dawson's buck, his youth season buck, was over a food plot of beans, but same idea. They were out there on those beans that were still standing. Whole bunch of deer in there. So I'm sure maybe you guys have seen the same thing as far as that goes. If you're on permission property or if you've got ground where farmers are cash renting it or whatever to farm and they've got beans on it, you've probably seen maybe some benefit from that. If not killing deer, at least seeing deer. You know, they're still going to be out there on that. Definitely early on in the season, I think they stayed green later than normal, and that was a huge benefit if you couldn't do food plots, right? So where normally those beans will start to turn yellow and the deer will move to your green food sources, your brassica plots or even your clover plots, something like that. They didn't do that as early. And if you didn't have the ability to put in food plots, then it was probably a benefit. So I definitely think that helped. The other side of that, though, was the corn. The late corn, I think, probably hurt, and it's probably still hurting in some cases. I think on the North Farm in particular, they got their corn out on that farm, but there's still quite a bit. I don't know how many acres exactly it is, but it's kind of adjacent to that property that's still standing, and I think it's really hurting the daylight pictures there. I think there's a lot of deer still using that, especially in the daytime. And I think that was kind of the story throughout October. If you had standing corn around, it's going to be tough. Usually is. You can get on some of those edges and things and fence rows that maybe split fields and see some activity occasionally. But number one, you just can't see as far. And number two, the deer have security everywhere, so they don't have to go to the places that would normally be pushed to after that corn's out. So I do think the late corn hurt, whereas the late beans probably helped. But most of that's starting to come out now, and I think most guys are going to be done or getting close to done within the next couple weeks. So later than some years, earlier than others for a lot of people. Some guys will probably be way later than that still yet, but that's what it's looking like right now. And those are just kind of some takeaways from the crops based on, it lines up kind of with what we thought was going to be the case. We thought the corn would probably hurt. The beans could potentially help. If there's beans out still late, I know there's some places where guys still probably haven't got their beans out. That might continue to be a benefit, and the same way the corn's going to continue to hurt more than likely. So that kind of lined up with what we thought was going to happen. Another thing, this is again going back to Dusty's buck, observation sits. We talk a lot about doing observation sits, and a lot of guys don't like to do it, I think, because they feel like they're out of the game or they don't have a chance to kill a deer when they're doing those. They feel like it's just kind of a wasted hunt. And the reason we try to do those, especially in October, is number one, it is observation. You're finding out what the deer are doing and confirming or not what you thought was happening with your deer herd or where they're coming out and things like that. And we try to do them on days where the weather's not great. Now, the weather the evening Dusty went was pretty good. It was right before a cold front, so it wasn't necessarily for that reason, but he was going to an observation stand to try to do some scouting for the upcoming youth season for Dawson. So it was kind of a little bit of different reason why he was in the observation stand than normally. Normally, again, we would use those for those days where the weather's not great and you don't want to go in and to your best spot and take a chance of spooking a deer on your way in or on your way out on a day where you probably didn't have a good chance to kill him anyway. But either or, he was still in an observation stand in this first part of the second week of October, and he ended up killing 150-inch deer. So don't think that just because you're going out for an observation sit, you don't have a chance. Obviously, it's less of one. I mean, it doesn't happen very often that you go to one of those spots and you end up killing something, because that's not your primary goal, which kind of sucks. But if you don't have a ton of days to hunt and you don't want to just stay home and stay out of a spot, then it's definitely a good option, and it still does put you in the game. We talk about that a lot when we talk about observation sits, and that's just more proof. It kind of confirmed what we've been talking about there. Our partners at Flambeau Outdoors have some of the best solutions in the industry for your decoy and storage needs. They're focused on innovation that matters, and they build their products to last. They're probably most known for their whitetail, waterfowl, and turkey decoys, and that's for good reason. They've got a lot of quality options at great price points in each category. The Boss Buck is a personal favorite of mine in their whitetail line, and I've been throwing their Stormfront mallards in front of duck blinds for years now. Don't sleep on their storage solutions either, though. Whether it's fishing tackle, firearms, ammo, or archery equipment, they've got you covered. They just stepped up their archery storage game too with the new Formula Bow Case. It might just be the best bow case on the market. We've been using ours for several months now, and I'm continually impressed with the ease of use and security they provide. Make the most of your time outdoors with Flambeau. Realism that gets results. And again, another thing that is pretty common, but it just occurred again this month, it's confirmed again, is early on in the month, food is where you need to be to find the bucks. They're going to come out and feed at some point. If it's a cold, if you got a cold front, they might come out earlier. If not, they might come out later, but you're still going to need to be in and around food more than likely in the early part of the month. In the latter part of the month, so here in the last week, five to seven days or so, that's where the scrapes start opening up, then that's where you need to be focusing on them. So the mindset definitely changes there after the middle part of the month, where they go from food first to now they're starting to switch their mind to breeding mode, and they're going into working those scrapes, checking things out, scent checking doe bedding areas, trying to find maybe an early doe that's coming in, setting their territory, dominance, things like that. I mean, the scrapes are where you need to be in the later part of the month, in my opinion. You're not always going to have success around them, but I think you have a higher opportunity for success around the right kind of scrapes in the later part of the month than you do in the early part of the month. And you have more chance on those scrapes than you do on the food. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have a combination. There might be scrapes around the food a lot of times, and that can be a good dual purpose setup there. But if you can find those active scrapes that have been really good, that are fresh, especially those community scrapes, then you're going to be in good shape there. And I kind of mentioned there a little bit about like their switch there after the middle of the month. And another takeaway from this year, just like many others, the middle of the month is still tough. Now, I know Dawson killed both of his bucks right there around the 15, 16, 17, something like that. We did have a cold front that came in, so that definitely helped. They did have a good food source, so that definitely helps, especially the combination of those two. That's definitely what it takes in the middle of the month. If you don't have those two things, it's going to be extremely tough, and the rest of us saw that. And, I mean, we have, me, Blake, and Dad, all three have places to hunt food sources over the on those cold fronts, and we still didn't have the same amount of success, and I think a lot of people still saw that. Definitely when it's got when you got warmer weather, I mean, just good luck in the middle of the month. The lull, people argue that it is or isn't real. I've done podcasts on it before talking about the what people have done in their studies, and bucks will continually move more in daylight throughout the month. I think that's probably true. However, I don't think they get very far from their beds in that time. I think they go back into the timber where they know they're safe. They go in looking like those early season slender bucks that you know, and then they come out of that and they look like they're on steroids, their neck's blown up, they look like they're ready to fight, they look like they're ready to run for a month. And I think during that phase, even though maybe they are still moving continually more, gradually more, it's just not as far from their secure areas, so without really going in there on top of them, you're not going to see them, let alone kill them. And a lot of times it's just not worth trying to do that at that point in the season. You got so much room in front of you to kill that thing. It's not really worth it to try to get in there and kill him on October 14th, 15th, whatever, in his bedroom and spook him and then not have a chance at him on October 25th. So definitely still saw that. I mean, again, some people don't believe in the lull. Some people do. I'm a firm believer that it slows down every year in the middle of October. My cameras always slow down. Definitely daylight pictures go way down. Sightings always seem to be really tough, even just seeing them, you know. I have shot bucks in the middle of the month before. One of them I can think of off the top of my head, I believe it was October 16th, and he was on a very secluded clover plot back in the timber, in and amongst some thick stuff. So where you would think one might be that time of year. But other than that, I mean, if you're sitting in your traditional spots and even some of your better spots, if they're not right on top of bedding, you're probably just not going to see that many deer, and we saw that again this year. October, there's a lot of talk over the last few years. Is October the new November? We covered an article on it from North American Whitetail, I believe. And you hear a lot of guys talking about it. A lot of big bucks always get killed in October, mostly around cold fronts. But I do believe it is only as good as November if you have a target buck that's pretty locked down on his core area, his home range. If you don't have that, October is still not going to be the best month. That's going to be November. And I think that's most people. If you're like most hunters out there, at some point, you've dreamed of having a piece of hunting ground to call your own. Maybe you finally decided to make those dreams a reality. If so, you need to talk to our guy, Rodney Hawkins. Rodney is a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. If you haven't heard of them, they aren't your average real estate company. While they do deal in traditional residential and commercial real estate, their specialty is recreational and farm ground. With agents like Rodney serving across the state of Illinois, no matter what you're looking for, they can find it. Even if you want to sell what you already have to upgrade, downgrade, reinvest, whatever, they've got you covered. For more information, you can contact Rodney at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. On top of what he does for MFL, Rodney also has his own company called RG Outdoors. They currently carry hard and soft-sided blinds, blind chairs, tree stands, and cameras from Radix Hunting, Tacticam trail cameras, Fission e-bikes, and he's adding new stuff all the time. I've personally used all of these products, and I'm beyond happy with every one of them. The Fission e-bike is a game changer, and you will not find a better one for the price. If you're interested in anything RG Outdoors has to offer, you can send them a message to their Facebook page, RG Outdoors, email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com, or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153. A lot of guys that are hunting permission ground or even leases or just in certain areas where there's not a ton of, you know, mature bucks on their property all the time. Maybe they don't have the ability, they don't have the property to create habitat that's inducive to those mature whitetails staying there all year. In that case, October's still not going to be great. Those cold fronts, you might catch one moving through, a new one showing up. The end of the month definitely could still be good because you are starting to see those bucks on their feet more and they're moving farther, so you might catch one on your property where he may not be living there. But if you don't have one living close to you, October's still just not as good as November. However, if you do have that, if you do have a buck that you know and you think he's living close to your area or in your area, his home range is, your property is part of his home range, etc., then I think it can still be, I mean, I think in that case, it is really good, and it can be as good as November, if not better, because a lot of times those bucks will leave in November to go out on their rut excursions or whatever, and they're not going to be on the property as much as they would be in the latter part of October. So it's definitely maybe better for those scenarios, but if you don't have that scenario, it's still not as good. Take the cabin, for example, this year for me. I didn't have a picture of a mature buck all month to this point. I've had one 3.5-year-old 8-pointer that looks like he could be pretty decent next year, and a couple 2.5-year-old bucks that just showed up this last week, but I still haven't had a picture of a mature buck. Now, most of the time there, I won't get them until this time of year. So it's not like I don't think they're going to show up, because I think they will. There's actually more does living on that property than there normally are. So I think that's a factor in it, the fact that maybe they're taking up some bedding spots that a buck might have, because some years I will have a buck there early in the season, but most years not. But those does being there makes me think there'll be a buck in there maybe for a longer period of time throughout the rut, and that's kind of my draw, biggest draw on that property. So I'm okay with that. But like I said, I didn't have any mature bucks on camera there all October, so it doesn't do me a lot of good, even the cold fronts in the month, even the end of the month. It's not as good for me there as November, because I know in November there's going to be bucks that come in there to breed those does. I know in November there's going to be bucks that are moving through there to check on those does, even though they might not stay there. They may not stay with them. The does might not be ready yet, but I know they're going to use that property. So November's still definitely better for that, and October is not as great if you don't have any for sure target bucks on a property. So that's what I got from takeaways from October. If you guys saw something new, saw something different, or even just affirm something that you thought you already knew, let us know. Send us a message or something, or comment on this podcast and let us know what you saw in October. But now let's move on to kind of what I was just talking about. I still think the best month of the year, November. The pre-rut's kicking right now. We're seeing that on cameras and stuff. Things are starting to pick up. Deer bucks are using scrapes. It's all the stuff that we wait for all year. I mean, if it was only 45 degrees for a high, that would be much better. But it's still been, you know, a lot better the last few days. So things are picking up. And then, of course, the pre-rut leads into the main event, which is the rut. And the first part of that is always really, really good. It's the best time of year for that, what I was just talking about, if you don't have any target bucks. And I think that's a lot of people. So if you don't have one that's living on you, if you don't have one that uses your property as part of his home range, November's going to be your best chance to kill one. Unless you've got a bunch of food and they find it late season, then potentially you could have a better chance of killing one in December because they do become a lot more patternable. But just as far as getting a random buck to come through, a random shooter buck, November obviously is going to be the best for that. So I'm excited for that on the cabin. I'm excited to see what shows up. There's some that I think should still be alive from last year that will hopefully come back. That could be really nice deer. So I'm excited for that. And I know you guys probably are too. If there's anything to preview on the rut, it's that. The bucks are about to start showing up if they haven't already. The does, we've noticed this over the last couple of days. There's a couple does up on the north farm that are just acting real goofy. And by that I mean they're by themselves, so their fawns are gone for whatever reason. They may have kicked them out already. Maybe they got ate by coyotes, hit by cars, whatever. But a lot of times they'll start kicking them out this time of year, and I think that's probably what happened in this case. But the last three does I've seen up there by themselves, they're not just walking around feeding. They're very on edge, like they've been harassed by all these young bucks. And we've seen that too. The young bucks kind of been harassing them. But just real nervous, kind of acting like they don't really know what's going on potentially with their body. Like they got those hormones going, so maybe that's affecting them some. But acting like anything might jump out behind a tree and harass them at any time. They're trotting along. They're not really just walking. When they move, they're moving quickly. They're going down into areas where they might not normally be, just acting like they're about ready to come into heat. And that's a place where I think could be good, maybe on these weather days that aren't going to be great here coming up this week. Might still get lucky if one of those does comes in and have a good hunt. But I'm sure you guys are starting to see some of that too. The does just starting to act a little bit funny, like it's about ready to kick off. And it is. I mean, it's that time of year, so it's not a surprise that we're seeing that. It's just good to see. It's fun to watch that. It's fun to watch the young bucks get fired up too and start pushing them around, because you know just shortly after, the mature bucks are going to start being ready to do the same thing. If you guys are in the food plotting game, you need to know about Grandpa Ray Outdoors. They specialize in providing the best nutrition for whitetail deer on your property, starting with the soil. They've got a full line of high-quality food plot seed, plant foods, and minerals. Whatever food plot blend you're looking for, they have it. Whether that be fall or spring blends, corner beans, switchgrass, throw and grow blends, shade tolerant mixes, they have it all. They don't just throw different types of generic seed in a bag though. They carefully select the different strains of specific plants that will not only work well together in their blend, but also in numerous different conditions. All their options have high germination rates, and when you buy a bag of their seed, that's what you're getting. Seed. No fluff, no filler, just the best available seeds that are going to hit the ground and grow. They aren't just about selling their products, though. They'll answer any questions you have about what blends would be best for your specific property. That way you can achieve the best results possible. We've used their seed blends on client properties and, of course, our own for years now, and the results have always been as good, if not better, than advertised. You can go check them out at GrandpaRayOutdoors.com and use the discount code RHOPODCAST, that's all lowercase, no space, to get 5% off your order. The biggest thing coming up, especially for the first week, these next 7 to 10 days, the first week of November, last couple few days of October, if you can find the does, that's where you're going to want to be. And more specifically, if you can find active buck sign around those doe herds, that's where you're going to get in to the big deer, to the mature bucks. they're going to start finding those does as well. So if you can find them, if you already know where they're at, you're in good shape there. But the bucks are going to start seeking them out as well. And usually we've talked to this with a lot of guys, Austin, Steve. They use this especially on public ground, but you can absolutely use it on private ground too, especially if you've got more than one property you're hunting or more than one doe herd that you're potentially hunting. Find the herd that has the active buck sign around it, because the bucks know before we do which does are close to coming in, or which does maybe some people even believe historically come in first. They think the bucks, mature bucks, can figure that out. So if you've got a doe herd you know is living in a certain area and you're starting to see scrapes and rubs pop up all around it, that's going to be the place to be for the beginning part of the rut. Definitely look for that kind of stuff and hunt the does. Where I talked about there for October, the early part, you know, food is still the place to be. In the latter part, scrapes are still the place to be. Scrapes are kind of still a part of it early on, but throughout the rut, the biggest thing is going to be hunting the does. You're not hunting food. You're not necessarily hunting sign. You're hunting the doe herd. We've talked about it in the past. If you're in there on the right day when a doe's in heat, it's going to be the best hunt of your life. But if you're not, if you miss it by a day on the backside, it's going to be like a ghost town. They're all going to be run out. So if you can get in there on some does and catch maybe that first one that comes in, if she comes by your stand, hang on, because you're probably going to see most of the bucks in that area, especially if she's one of the first ones to come in. That if you can find the first doe, man, you're going to see a lot of bucks. If she happens to walk by your stand, you're going to see maybe every buck on the property. The first right now, November 1st, at least for Southern Illinois, looks like it might be the best day for a while. And I believe that's a Friday. I think it's this Friday is the first, actually. So if you can, like if you can get into work early to take off earlier, if you can maybe go in late and work late and hunt that morning, I think that'd probably be the day to go. And it might be one day here, one day either direction, depending on where you're at throughout the Midwest. But at least in Southern Illinois, the first looks like it's going to be the best weather day right after this front moves through of these next few days. It's got some rain after it, so a front with precipitation is usually the best kind of front. Friday will be following that for us. And then after that, it's supposed to heat back up again, and the weather's not supposed to be real great. So I think Friday may be the best day to kill a mature buck, in at least for the foreseeable forecast, weather forecast. Now, we all know that can change at any given time, and it's not hard set. But just from the information that we have available right now, November 1st looks like it's going to be, looks like it could be really, really good, could be the best day coming up. Now, I say that, you still got to be out there in November, especially the first like 15 days. Doesn't matter if it's hot or cold or windy or maybe a little bit of rain, you got to be out there because you just never know. I've had some of the best days on my cameras, because I didn't go because it was 75 degrees, some of the best days on those hot ones, like the camera just going off constantly, middle of the day, 75 degrees, they're out there, mature buck after mature buck, just chasing the doe, because the hot doe happened to be in that area on that day at that time. That dictates a lot of when the action will happen. The weather does as well, so like those bad weather days, you might not see as much activity. It may be more first hour, last hour, or it may just happen at night, but you still got to be out there just in case, because the hot doe will dictate what happens even more than the weather. If you get one coming by your stand, I don't care if it's 85 degrees and sunny and the wind's blowing 30 miles an hour, there's going to be some bucks following after her. If you don't have that and it's that same weather, there's still going to be activity. It's probably just going to happen at night after it cools down. So the deer are still going to breed. It just might be at night if you don't have the good weather. So if we can get a cold front, even better, because those are the days where you have a more likelihood of seeing that kind of activity, and the bucks just out cruising and feeling themselves looking for does in the daylight, middle part of the day, things like that, as opposed to at night if the weather does get up there in the mid-70s to high 70s and they're not feeling it as much. Unless a hot doe goes by, you know, they're not going to be as active until it cools down in the dark. They don't care whether it's daytime or dark. They're going to do what they have to do when it's most advantageous for them to do it. So keep that in mind. You got to be out there. Just know it might not be as good on those hotter days, but you don't want to miss the day just because you didn't go with the weather. I understand if you got, you know, if you can't with work or family commitments or whatever, but if you can get out there, if you got a day to go hunt, go hunt. Don't let the weather stop you this time of year. It's time to be on the stand. Another thing, I'll kind of wrap up with this, mostly because it's just for Illinois people, so it may be interesting to some of you guys that aren't. But if you're in Illinois, I think this is a really big one for us, and it'll be kind of an interesting case study almost. We got an odd year with where Thanksgiving's falling this year. It's falling later in the month, and our gun season is dictated by that. So it's always the first weekend before Thanksgiving. Then you have Thanksgiving week that weekend, and then the following weekend is the second firearm season. This year it falls later, so our firearm season opening day, I believe, is November 22nd, where it's normally 16th, 17th. I don't know if the math works out on if it's ever been the 15th or not. It might have been. I'm not sure. But usually it's right in there, 16th, 17th, 18th. We've got an extra, you know, six days even of bow season this year before firearm comes in. That's going to be huge, I think, not only for the hunting opportunity, because you're going to have less pressure. You got more days to get it done if you're trying to get it done with a bow. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. If you've made it to this point, hopefully you're enjoying the show. And if you are, go over to our Facebook page and our Instagram. Give us a follow. It's Ridge Hunter Outdoors. We also have a private Facebook group. That's Ridge Hunter Nation. You can go over there and answer a couple questions. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast or you watch any of our shows on YouTube or Carbon TV, you get in that group and just use it as your normal hunting group. Share your success, your failures, pictures, whatever you got. And we'll also give you some extra content in there. I'll ask questions on that, maybe do some surveys occasionally. And we'll also give you guys the opportunity to ask questions for any of our guests that we might have coming on, if we have them lined up in time and that's available. You'll find that at Ridge Hunter Nation. That's on Facebook. Our website is ridgehunteroutdoors.com. That's where you're going to see our scent line, Ridge Hunter Scents, our buck tarsal spray, doe tarsal spray, and our calming spray. All of our apparel is available on the website, and our food plot seed, when it is in stock, is available on the website too. If you want any of that stuff, make sure you use our discount code RHOPOD or Full Draw, all caps on either of those, no space, and you get 10% off your entire order. We also have our entire catalog of podcasts on the website, and our video series are available on there as well. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other audio platform, give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it lets you do, and that'll let you guys know when our episodes come out. They're not always as consistent as we want them to be, but we try to shoot for Monday and Friday. Sometimes it gets on a Tuesday or a Saturday maybe for an episode, and that way you'll know when they come out. It also really helps us without costing you anything. If you're listening to this on YouTube, hopefully you're already subscribed to the channel. If you're not, make sure you do that. If you're not listening to this on YouTube and you're not subscribed, make sure you go over there and do that at Ridge Hunter Outdoors, just like everything else. That's where you'll find our Fall Pursuit Show, Spring Strutting, all of our off-season vlogs will be on there, and much more. If you guys see a video or are listening to a podcast on there and you're enjoying it, just drop us a comment. Hey, good show. Really enjoyed it. Something simple. Give the video a like. That really, really helps us out. And again, it doesn't take much of your time at all. You can also find Fall Pursuit on Carbon TV, and Spring Strutting will be on there this spring as well. So make sure you go over to Carbon TV. They have a lot of great shows to offer, and ours will be on there also. Thanks for listening, guys. We really appreciate you tuning in when you do. Now let's get back to the episode. The deer always change after that firearm season, because especially in Illinois where it's 3 days, everybody and their brother's out there hunting those 3 days because it's the only 3 days they have to hunt with a firearm. And maybe that's the only time of year they get to hunt. Maybe, obviously, it's your best opportunity to kill a buck because you get out there with a firearm, especially some of these 350 Legend, any of these rimfire rifles now that you got, straight wall cartridge stuff, some of the shotguns out there, the slug guns, the muzzle loaders, you can reach out there and get them. So you got a really good opportunity at killing a buck. You don't have to get them in close like you do with a bow. So I get that part of it too. If that's what you're wanting to do, that you're going to go out there for those 3 days, but it adds up to a ton of pressure and it changes what the deer are going to do after that. They don't move as naturally that following week if you're in a spot where there's been a lot of firearm hunting going on. Now, you maybe have a property where you're staying out of it for that season and deer are getting pushed into it, but otherwise they're not going to act as naturally after that. So we have a whole nother week of them going about their daily business more naturally than they would. I mean, there's still going to be some hunting pressure from bow hunters. It's going to pick up, obviously, in November, but we got a whole nother week of them just acting like they normally would. which is going to really benefit us on the bow hunting side. I think we'll have more opportunities in that last week than obviously we normally would. Not as much pressure. You don't have to push yourself there on the 15th now. You can maybe you got up until the 21st really to get it done before things change. So that's huge for the bow hunters. I think it's going to be interesting to see how many bucks are killed on that last weekend, especially before gun season. That would normally be the gun weekend. It'll be interesting to see how many are killed with the bow that wouldn't have been killed with a bow on any other year. And the other thing, I think, a couple other things are going to be interesting is how many bucks are killed with a gun, because it's a week later. I did a podcast on a full draw Friday, I think it was. It may have been a regular one. Either way, I did one on moving the firearm season into December, for the first weekend of December. And you guys can go listen to that episode. I'm not going to get into it now. But a lot of people pushed back on that. A lot of people who did push back on that, their thing was, well, we want to hunt during the rut with our guns. And you're not going to kill as many bucks. We won't have the opportunities if it's not right in the middle of the month where it normally is. I think it'll be interesting to see, especially for those people, that there's still going to be a lot of bucks killed on that weekend of the 22nd. It's almost a whole week later than it normally is. There's still going to be a lot of bucks hit the ground for nothing else other than the fact that, number one, it is still November. Number two, you're out there with a firearm. Number three, the deer aren't acting naturally anyway when they got that much pressure on them, so they're going to be running around looking for places to hide. So you just got to be in the right place to find them. And besides that, we always see a ton of bucks killed. Some of the biggest bucks, honestly, from year to year in gun season are killed in the second season, which is always in December anyway. So that's going to be fun to watch and just see if it really does affect how many mature bucks are killed with the firearms. And the other thing, the last thing, and I'll end on this, is part of the reason I talked about moving that firearm season was because peak breeding for whitetails is somewhere around the 15th, 14th, 15th, 16th of November. You can move that a day or two either way, depending on where you're at geographically. But here in Illinois, I believe it's 15th to 17th is probably peak breeding. If they did some studies on that, I think that's what they would find. That means not the best time to be out there to hunt. That means that's the lockdown phase where the bucks are finding does. There's a lot of does that are in heat, like it's the top of the bell curve for does that are coming in heat. So they don't have to go very far from one to the other to breed. They're going to stay with that doe, you know, anywhere from just walking up to them, breeding them, and leaving to being with that doe for 48 hours or longer in some cases, basically courting her until she's completely ready and then breed her and then they move on. So it's a tough time to hunt. But I think the deer need that. They need the time to do that, and I think we've seen a lot of adverse effects from having gun weekend right in there where they should be locked down with does and doing their normal breeding. I think we've seen a lot of late-born fawns because of that, things of that nature. But again, I'm not going to get too much into that. You can go back and listen to the episode that I did to hear my thoughts on it if you haven't already. But I do think it will be good for the deer to be able to go through that normal phase without having the extra added pressure and being ran around by all the firearms hunting that's going on. I think it'll be interesting to see what that does for the fawns for this upcoming spring. So we'll see. Hopefully you guys are as pumped up as we are to get out there and hunt the rut. I'm sure you are. It's going to be fun. Don't let it go by. Don't miss it. This is what we wait for all year. These next 10, 15, 20 days or whatever. It's what we're all waiting for all year. And it's finally here. So get out there, get after them. Don't let the weather slow you down. Be smart about your wind still. Don't throw that out, you know, just because it's this time of year. Be smart with where you're going in. Wear your safety harnesses, and good luck. I hope you kill one you're after. If you're not after one in particular, I hope you kill a big one anyway. So thanks, guys, for tuning in. We'll catch you on Friday. If you shoot something, send us a message. Send us pictures. We want to see it. Good luck, everybody. Stay safe. Shoot straight, and we'll see you later.